Well, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. Today on the podcast, I'm interviewing Catherine Maley. And guess what, guys? I've been following this lady for probably 20, 25 years. I feel like I ran into a book of hers during residency surgery training, and I thought, wow, this woman has it going on. She understands the business, the aesthetic side of business. And she's a marketing coach for cosmetic practices. She's an author, speaker, trainer, and businesswoman. And I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is exciting. So you've been in aesthetic medicine since the beginning, in the last 20 years, aesthetics has taken off, and I feel like you've been there from the very beginning. And you wrote a book. It's been in publication for quite a few years now. It's called Your Aesthetic Practice, What Your Patients Are Saying. What's like the driving force of your passion for being in aesthetics?
Well, I got into it for a very vanity filled reason, and that is I wanted Botox and I wanted filler and I wanted all of that, for a good price. And I thought if I hang around with enough plastic surgeons and cosmetic dermatologists, I would, be on the inside there of everything I need to stay looking good and feeling great. So I just had a passion for actually a passion for taking care of myself. And as you get older, you need some help. I can only jog so much, but it's not helping my complexion. So I was just really interested in the topic. And then I love marketing and I love sales and marketing. I have a strong background in sales and marketing. And I thought this industry has got to learn how to promote themselves. When I got into this 24 years ago, they didn't know how to market themselves. Frankly, doctors don't think they should have to. And that attitude was going to hurt them because you could see the trend coming. Like it was going to get really busy out there because everything was trending towards looking good, feeling great, anti-aging, don't go out down without a fight. Like we were taking care of ourselves inside. Why not take care of ourselves outside? So that was my big interest in helping plastic surgeons, especially getting good at the business and marketing side of plastic surgery.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You've worked on the medical side, so you understand that patient experience, which is not that fun when you go to the doctor's office these days. Like it could be more fun for a medical visit, but I love what we've done in aesthetics, where you can come into somewhat of a soft, relaxed, and beautiful setting and have something performed, which is a very medical procedure, but you still get like the luxury aspect and the hand-holding and the concierge feeling of aesthetics. Hopefully most of us are doing that in aesthetics. But you mentioned a story about when you started your first exposure to your first derm. Can you tell us that story of how you noticed that even the most fabulous experts in the world can have a very crappy office experience?
My dermatologist was Kathy Fields. And for those of you who don't know Fields and Rodin, they were the adventurers into this market. They started with an infomercial called Proactive Skincare, or it was for acne. It was Proactive Acne Skin Cream or whatever. And I know the backstory. It sounds like they would be like gazillionaires and they can retire. And they did say to me, it's not what you think. Because once you sell out to a company to handle that for you, they take most of the profits with them. But they were so instrumental. Kathy Fields and Katie Rodin, they were dermatologists from Stanford, and I'm out in San Francisco. And I had been going to Kathy for a long time for various things because I'm Irish and I have terrible skin. And then, of course, I love the Botox and the fillers. And in those days, it was just collagen. So you had to go a lot more often because it wore off very quickly. And I just remember thinking, I love her. I love my results. The customer service and patient experience is ridiculous. The staff was horrendous. There was no such thing as customer service. It was a very busy practice. So they never, the phone was awful. Trying to schedule something was not easy. You'd walk in and there was nowhere to sit, and you would be sitting next to a real patient that has like a terrible skin rash, and I'm there for my vanity Botox. And her office was very underwhelming aesthetically. And I thought, dear Lord, if you think about it, a patient with an insurance card is so different than a consumer with a credit card who's going to decide who to give their money to because it's their money now and it's their choice. And I just thought this industry is going to need help because this is going to become a big deal in our world. You could just see aesthetic rejuvenation was getting very popular. And the supply and demand was so perfect for the doctor side. There weren't many surgeons doing this. You know, most plastic surgeons were medical doctors, you know, medical surgeons. And so they had the pick of the litter. There was a big demand or growing demand, not a lot of supply. Things have obviously changed a lot since then. But I thought I could help this industry a lot with customer service and sales, quite frankly. Whatever you want to call this, sales, promoting, educating a patient, whatever you want to call it, you're still taking a complete stranger patient to a $2 to $10 to $20 to $200,000 of their own disposable income. And how do they choose you over everybody else? You know, I spend a lot of time on that.
That's a great question. And I think you asked me earlier who listens to this podcast and who should we talk to? And I think we could talk to everybody. Okay. Busy business women, a lot of people listening are business owners. They may or may not be in aesthetics. Those of you who are aesthetic injectors, you definitely need to hear this. But I think this applies to almost every industry. Mm-hmm. When we bring people into our office, I like to make it feel like you're visiting our house. We want to greet you so warmly. We want to like give you something to drink or eat and settle you in a comfortable spot and make sure all your needs are taken care of. What are some innovative things that you've seen in practices where they're really concierging the visit or making people feel special?
Those who are embracing technology are winning, because if you think about it, think about all the things you have to do to get to, as a consumer, how do I get to the doctor? So if I can schedule online, I am sold, because I am a super busy professional. And anytime you can save me time and make it more convenient for me, I'm in. And a lot of things I'll say about technology, the doctors push back and say, I don't know how to do that. My staff doesn't know how to do that. That's really going to be complicated on our end. And I said, but then don't complain. Don't mm-hmm. complain when you lose to that practice who did bother to figure it out. Mm-hmm. That's who wins. Those who can embrace all of this and say, not can I do this? It's much more, how can I do this? So there's online scheduling, the phones. If you could just get your phones right, gosh, half the time, I could spend half of my consulting time just on the phones. You're missing so much. Mm-hmm. You're missing, like, any practice easily is missing $500,000 a year just because they won't answer the darn phone. Again, technology is here to help us. So I would embrace it. I would.
Do you think our aesthetic consumers are going to want AI answering the phone? Because there is AI that will answer the phone call and does pretty darn good right now.
Anybody who wants an answer, I personally just want an answer. So if it's something simple, but I also want to opt out, don't make me go through your AI experience if you haven't perfected it yet. I do a lot of talking around the world, and I did an AI talk, and it was so funny because one of the surgeons has his own widget, his own chatbot. And so I used it as a consumer, and I'm on his website, and I said, oh, how much is a rhino? And he said, oh, that varies a lot. You'll have to have a consultation to determine that. So, you know, all right. And I said, oh, okay. All right. Well, then how about what's the downtime for a tummy tuck? Oh, again, that varies a lot. And I thought, you're not helping me.
Yeah, you're wasting my time.
Yeah. I mean, when you institute anything in your practice, look at it from the consumer point of view.
Yeah.
You know, do what you're asking your patients to do and see what you think. Was that a good experience, or could it have been better?
I mean, it's a fine line, because we're told in aesthetics, like, never answer a price question. Everyone wants to call and find out, what do you charge for a syringe of lip filler? What do you charge for, how much is Botox? How many dollars per unit? Mm-hmm. And in LA, which is very much a price market commodity, you know, mm-hmm. the products are priced everywhere on all the billboards. People do want to know pricing, but how do you differentiate and get people out of that price-based mindset and like have a conversation where they want to come in?
The secret to that is to pre-frame before price. If you just say price and you don't have anything to compare that to, that's all they're going to go on, because you haven't given them any other reason to consider something else other than price. Mm-hmm. So I always preface it by saying, by the way, we have over 30 years of experience here in the office with our injectors. We've injected more than 50,000, start naming some names, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can also add a back end to that. So we do this, we have done this many treatments. Our syringes are, let's say our Voluma or something, it starts at 900, and we offer a gift card towards multiple syringes. And then we also have a take-home bag, like a take-home bag of something to go with your skincare product of your choice. You're trying to add a package, because if you can get away from the apples to apples and you throw in some other things, now you're apples to oranges. And they can't make it that easy. That's also why social media has gotten so important. The only thing you have going for you is your personality. If the price is all the same, what else you have? You know, that's why you've got to build a personality or a persona around you. And now people go to you for the, not only the experience, but the relationship that they have with you. And then price becomes secondary or later.
Yeah. How often do you do a telephone audit where you call an office and then everybody gives you all the wrong answers and, you know, you're just horrified? Probably happens all the time.
All the time. Yeah. All the time. It's shocking. Yeah. Shocking.
And then how do physicians or business owners actually convince and train people to stop that? Because I feel like we do a lot of that training, and I work with a lot of companies lecturing on marketing, business, branding, the patient experience. And I'm like constantly preaching the importance of this, but then I'll turn around and I'll hear someone say exactly the wrong thing the moment that I'm not paying attention. So how do you get that into staff's head?
Well, I'm a big proponent of scripts, and some people say, oh, but they make me sound so phony. Well, it's only because you haven't used it correctly. Like, I use scripts. Everything I do is scripted because I have a little ADD and I'm all over the place. And if I'm not following a script, it's so easy for staff to go off on these tangents. They end up in rabbit holes that they can't get out of. Now the call is taking 10 minutes instead of the, what it should take is about 2 minutes, because they're not there to do a consultation. They're there to give just enough information to then ask that next question, which is, when can we see you? So I have a very simple phone form that I follow. The staff who do it and practice it and get good at it, it has made their lives so much easier. And they always say to me, thank you so much. I knew I wasn't sounding right, but I didn't know what else to say. And nobody told me what to say. So I've been winging it. Mm-hmm. That's the last thing you want. You don't need anybody winging it. A truly professional practice is so different when they have consistent processes in place and the patient visit is consistent. Like when I call a certain place, I always get the same experience, and that's how your scene is different. You know, how many times you called some place and once you loved it, the next time it's like, what the heck happened? And it's the consistency we're all looking for as patients, because yeah, I'll give you all of my money if you can make my life easier and faster. And it's not about price for a lot of people. I know they say it is until they have gone with price and got what they got, which is crappy service, crappy results, a terrible experience, and they're not feeling good about it. And I think, well, you know, it's still true. You get what you pay for. I would look at more than just price, quite frankly.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. On social media, are there some trends that you think are super important for offices to embrace and go with?
Social media is so funny. Here's what I've learned with, especially with plastic surgeons, most of them do not have the personality for social media. And I always say, God, if you could get your staff to do the fun part, the entertaining part. So many staff have so many interesting skill sets that you didn't know about until social media. If you can get them involved, I love it. I think it's a great team building effort in your practice. If you can all get together on the non-medical or non-surgical side and say, come on team, let's do some fun stuff here. There's so many creative things you can do. You can use CapCut or a lot of music, and there's so many fun things you can do with video that make you look really entertaining. But even little things, like if you're really like a killer yogi person, you could literally have yoga Friday mornings, you know, and just 5 minute yogi sessions or something. Or if you're a Zumba dancer, you know, let's do Zumba once a week. The secret is to develop that audience who loves you. And you can't just stand there, you know, like you need something, a theme. I love a theme idea. So if you like to dance, Zumba, exercise, meditate, anything you have about that. And then if you are a fun personality, bring that out. The whole world has become they like to buffer a lot with entertainment.
Yeah.
It just is the way it is. So if you're trying to get an audience, I would try to preface it with education. I would say more like, 30, 30, 30. Like let's say 30% education, 30% entertainment, and then 30% is informative yet compelling, you know, maybe ask for a little something, but you can't be a commercial. You have to entertain and grab attention. You know, I'll tell you what I would do if I was in a practice, let's say I'm in a practice in Maine.
Yeah.
Just go check out somebody over on the West Coast, you know, nowhere near you. But somebody who has the same specialty, check out what they're doing, you know, and just see some of the ideas you like. And you never want to steal ideas. You want to swipe and deploy ideas and
right.
make them your own.
Those are kind of the content ideas that will help to grow your platform, I'm sure. Do you think websites are still super important to drive people to your office? And any advice on building or setting up a website?
The websites are getting tough. AI,
Yeah.
I don't know if you've dabbled in AI at all. You know what's happening? I have my AI open now all the time. I'm finding instead of Googling, I'm going to AI.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting because now I'm bypassing all the search engines that Google was going to give me. I do believe because I have a blog post of over 500 blog posts and I'm researching this constantly for the surgeons. I always say, please, keep doing the blog, you know, keep blogging on your website, keep your website up to date. Certainly use your search engine optimization people to keep you ranked, but it's obvious it's hurting. It's hurting because Google's not going to put you on the first page anymore. If you've noticed, it's all ads. They have to take care of their advertisers. And if they don't do that, they lose that advertising. And even if they were going to put organic up, look who you're competing with. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons, the American Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons, the American Academy of Cosmetic Dermatologists, you know, they'll rank them way over you, the solo practice. So in today's world, put a bunch of poles in the pond. Don't count on SEO. Don't count on your website alone. Don't count on just email marketing. Just do everything.
That's great advice. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I am using AI a ton in the office. And I think my first instinct is to go to ChatGPT these days, as opposed to going to Google. And I don't know if it's turning into human brain laziness or what, but it's so super fast. And you don't have to search around and skip through all the ads and like figure out, you know, looking for the spam. And we use Perplexity a lot too. Perplexity, because it gives some references of where it finds answers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think a website is still important. You're absolutely right. Blog posts and SEO optimization. Do you have any tips for good search engine optimization for us?
Well, think like a consumer. Pretend you're in front of your keyboard and you've been looking at the mirror. You have something about you that you don't like. We women are brutal about this. We have been, you know, degrading ourselves in the mirror forever. By the way, in my book, I asked them, how long had you been thinking about making a change? We women will torture ourselves for years before we decide
age
to
20,
do it.
When we're our most beautiful, we start picking ourselves apart at age 20, really.
Isn't that amazing? I look back now and I feel for these girls because I hear the calls and they're already thinking about a facelift at 39. And
I know.
If you think 39 is tough,
just wait.
wait. I mean, what is going to happen to them? I feel for them because hopefully by then they will have gone within and the answers are within because.
Yes, the meditation hopefully has started, but you have to have a lot of self-love and acceptance. I think when you become a real woman, when you realize it's not all about external beauty, you have to find value in yourself somewhere else.
The older I get, the more I realize we all work on our bodies. You spend a lot of time on your body, or you spend a lot of time dressing it, you know, or just perfecting it as much as you can. And then you start looking at your face and going, okay, what else can I do there? You know, because the face seems to be a little different than the body. Now there's the face, especially the aging face. And now you start chasing that. I call it chasing the face. You can spend a fortune on that with non-surgical, and you can spend a fortune on all of the non-surgical before you finally have the guts, you know, to go to surgical.
Yeah.
But then don't you also work on your mind? Like, don't you read and learn and grow?
You know what? People don't these days. It's crazy. Even I feel my own brain has a hard time sitting down and reading. I'm also like an ADHD kind of a girl, but I used to love to just sit and read and bury myself in a book for 200 pages, but that is so hard these days. So I do think we need to retrain our attention span brain.
That's so true. The book has to grip me a lot sooner than it used to. You know, I could hang in there for three chapters before it picked up, and now I'm definitely not. Like, you better get there a lot sooner or I am out. And then you know what I do? I go to GPT and I say, can I get a summary of this book? That's terrible. But back to that. So we have body, mind, and then spirit. And I don't know if this is, you know, just because I'm getting older, but I've spent a whole lot more time on my soul searching than ever. You know, when you're younger, you're so myopic about like what's right in front of you. And then as you get older, like the mind, I never want to lose that. So I keep growing that, but it really is mind, body, and soul.
It really is. Yeah. And it's good that we're in this industry because aesthetics is branching out. I think we've also evolved like from being 20 to where Botox and filler was important to now looking at, you know, being 30 and 40, where we're building structure and foundation in our 50s. Now it's about biostimulators and biorejuvenative therapy and supplements. And now I see the evolution of where I myself and my patients were interested in longevity and health and kind of improving like cellular health starting at that level. So I see aesthetics evolving a lot, hopefully, but it seems like core principles of marketing and sales, like those almost don't change. Have you seen big changes now with the onset of AI and new technology, the way that we talk to patients, the way that we advertise, like other than social media, have you seen some big changes or do you predict some?
I am watching the consumer detest advertising and marketing of any kind. Mm-hmm. And it's making it very complicated and difficult to get your name out there. The irony of advertising and marketing is you need a call to action. You need a compelling reason for somebody to do something. Right. Surgeons love to do ego advertising, you know, no offense, but they love to do, hey, I'm the best and this is what I offer. And they have their menu of services. Nobody can see that ad because no one's looking for a menu of services. What they're looking for is, I have belly fat. I want to get rid of belly fat. That's what they hear. So now you have to have an ad saying, got belly fat? Question mark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can fix that. And here's your coupon or here's your discount. You know, it's so difficult. That's why social media has really taken over, because all the eyes went there because everybody wants to be entertained as well as educated, but mainly distracted. And now that's even made it worse as well, because when you do shorts and reels, how in the world do you have time to get your message out? That part is confusing to me because I'm not huge on social media. I feel like it's going way too fast and I don't have a minute to, you have to grab attention, but get them there long enough to say, okay, this sounds interesting. Let me stay. You know?
Yeah. It's interesting because patients who find me on social media, they will often say, I've been following you for 2 years.
Yeah.
And so it is a little 30-second snippet, but 30 seconds every day for 2 years, it adds up. So I think you get to know, and something about being on film, like your personality and your essence and the core of who you are, whether you're genuine or whether you're very fake, it comes across. So I think the human brain is so interesting that it can perceive all that from the image of a person and how they talk and how they interact with the, you know, the video that you're putting on. But you're absolutely right. I think maybe there's a role for long form content like YouTube, because I think people can get to know you better if those that really love you that want to take a deep dive can find you on another platform like a podcast or a YouTube video. So that's been interesting too, to branch out in different forms of media.
You need to be on all of them, you know?
It's exhausting and difficult for the new beginner who's starting a new business, even if you're not in aesthetics or if you are in aesthetics, it's very intimidating, I would imagine.
And it takes patience, and doctors don't have any patience when it comes to spending money on advertising and marketing. They want to see a result right away because they've been trained that they should get a 4-to-1 ROI on everything they spend. And in today's world, it's a miracle to put in a dollar and get back four. Don't count on that. Don't count on that. A lot of this is a building. Like, it took 2 years for that person to reach out to you. Count on that. You know, heck, it takes 2 years for a surgeon to buy my book, you know?
Like
that's the joke. That is marketing and advertising. You stay put. And when it finally registers, all of that repetition finally pays off, but only for a very small percentage of your audience, very small percentage.
Conversion.
I learned a million years ago, this marketing guru said, just so you know, just, you might as well know this now, you're going to spend a fortune and endless nights and hours putting together all this marketing and advertising. Just know that only 2% are ever going to do anything with your efforts, but you can get rich off the 2%.
Oh my gosh.
If you have a big enough audience.
Put it into perspective. Yes. Yeah. One of my marketing people asked me yesterday, like, oh, I don't want to talk about this product anymore. Like, we've talked about it once and I think I don't want to get repetitive. And I was like, hold on, we need to talk to the consumer 8 times before they make a decision that will convert them. So we're going to talk about lip filler, whatever it is, you know, 8 weeks in a row before that person's going to actually realize that they do want it and they are going to click and they are going to reserve and get themselves in here. It's so many exposures that people take. Mm. Are there other numbers other than that? Or is that still pretty accurate that takes like 7 or 8 exposures before you're actually going to get a conversion?
Oh, I think it takes a lot more than that.
More than that even. Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. There's way too much coming at us. Look at your every day. All of us are in screens all day and they're coming at us like crazy. What are the chances of you stopping? You can stop, but what are the chances of you stopping, digesting what that message is, thinking about it, and then actually acting on it? That is an act of God. To try to take somebody from, I don't know you, from Joe Schmo to, I want to give you money. There is nothing easy about that. And that's why in today's world, I would say, make sure you have a social media person or team on board. And you need people to help you do this. You can't do this on your own anymore. And that's more important than buying another machine, quite frankly. Get really good at patient attraction and conversion and patient experience. Spend way more time and money and effort on that, because I look at it as a flywheel. You put in all that effort at the beginning, you set up your fundamentals, excellent patient experience, and that patient gets a great experience, has a great result. You follow up beautifully with them and they return, refer, review, approve their photos. And then they build your practice for you and it goes around and around and around. But usually surgeons don't want that. They want new patients. They said, I already know that patient. I said, that patient's worth gold to you. They have a whole bunch of friends just like them. Why are you going after a stranger patient when you could literally nurture this one patient and get all of her friends and family and neighbors and coworkers and gym buddies? It's insane how much we lose focus off of what is actually making you money. I always, when I go into a consult at a practice, all I want to see is the numbers, revenues by age, revenues by zip code, revenues by procedure, revenues by referral source. Start there. Those people already gave you money. Go get some more.
Hmm. Very interesting. What are some other good KPIs or key performance indices that we should look at? Those are all great ones.
Well, especially for the phones, you know, how many calls come in? You know what happens? Everyone says for their conversion rate, they say, oh, my conversion rate is 60%. And then I say, from what? Conversion from call or conversion from consult? Mm-hmm. And there's a big distinction there. You got 100 calls. Your receptionist only booked like 25 of them, let's say. Out of those 25 who booked, now you converted whatever. Three of them, but start the counting at the beginning. How many called, how many got through your phone person, then how many got through to the patient experience where it's time to say yes or no to giving you money. Look at all of those points and see where you're losing people.
Yeah, that's really critical. Sometimes you will have a bad experience with a patient. You mentioned reputation building. Like, what are your tactics or your advice in terms of like when you get a bad Yelp review? Because everyone will. You'll find a person to give you a bad Yelp review. It'll crush your little soul. And then still you have to get up and go back and do what you got to do. But what's your advice for reputation management?
Let me back up before you get to that part. When somebody's in your office, I would have the front desk or the checkout people always say, so how was your visit with us today? You know, always get feedback. Always get feedback. A patient will show you with body language, if not with words, that they're not happy. You know, too many surgeons or physicians just want them to go away. Like they're not happy either. There's not a good vibe going here. And the surgeon's now always busy when the patient wants to come back and talk to them about something. So a lot of this could be prevented if you would just handle it when it's still just a conversation and it hasn't become, because the reason they're going online typically is nobody heard them. You didn't hear them. And so they're going to go complain online because they have no one else to complain to.
Right.
So please check in at the right moments when they had something done, or a week later. How are things going? What do you think? You know, ask them. They'll tell you. They'll tell you, I'm not happy with this. You know, what happens is they're not going to tell you because they're just going to disappear, or you're going to reappear, you know, on Yelp. You could have caught some of that. But the thing about Yelp, it's such a double-edged sword. Consumers love Yelp because it feels so authentic, because they get to see all the one stars, and the patients just seem to be a lot more vocal on Yelp. And the surgeons dislike Yelp a lot, but the patients love it. So get good at Yelp, you know, first of all, get good at that patient experience. And then if you do need to, I would reach out to the patient. I know it's a little late now, but when it comes to Yelp, I would reach out. If you know who that patient is, see, or just say right online, I'm so sorry, and say you're sorry. I'm so sorry. That's not how we do, you know, how we take care of patients here. Please give me a call, or call us and call me personally. That's another thing. I've been on Yelp where the response says, oh, if you have any problems, we'd like to talk to you about it. Email us at marketing@smithplasticsurgery.com. And
yeah.
I thought, oh, that's not good. No, you should say straight from the doctor, text me at this number and let's talk. Like, really? I mean, you have, and I know there's all these legalities. I'm just saying, you have to deal with it. If it's just one periodically, it's no big deal. But frankly, if you're down in the threes, you have an issue in your practice. You know, it's time to give me a call and I'll fix things for you. But something's horribly wrong.
You know, so many challenges that we face, cosmetic practices with every business. Yeah. Actually, what do you foresee as any upcoming important trends that we should keep tabs on besides what we've talked about?
Well, the injectors now have an awful lot of freedom to do what they want. They can join someone else's practice. They can join together into these like little franchise things that are going on. There's so many opportunities now for the non-surgical. There's so much demand for the non-surgical. You can build a killer non-surgical practice of your own. And I would go with quality versus quantity. Watch who you're marketing to. If I had my druthers, do I want a practice full of the 20-year-olds who want full lips? Or do I want the, let's say, 40 to 50 to 60 who just are not liking what's happening? You know, that aging face patient.
Yeah.
I'll take that one any day. Number one, they have more pain. They have more urgency because they keep aging more every day. They have more financial wherewithal normally because they've just been on the planet a lot longer. And they care a lot more about their relationship with you, and they're way more loyal. You know? So that's what I would do. Pick your poison, pick who you want to cater to and work with, because, and then build a group or build that community.
Yeah. Yeah. It's challenging because like, even I would love to see more ladies in my age group. And I think that, you know, you're absolutely right. They're very loyal and wonderful people. And they just say, Dr. K, do whatever you want to me. And just make sure we do whatever you think I need.
Yes.
It's kind of fun to, and very artistic process to work with them. So I love that. But then none of them want to be on social media. So I have to post all my beautiful 20-year-olds because they don't mind being photographed and videoed. So it's like you have to somehow attract your tribe with your vibe, but they want to be invisible and hidden.
That's really catchy. Track your tribe with your tribe. That's good. By the way, the surgeons say that to me all the time. The aging face won't be, I can't get photos. But then I say, well, then how did this other surgeon has 1,000 photos of face. How did he do that?
Yeah.
There's always a way. Just remember that. There's always a way.
Yes.
Now, I asked him on my own podcast, how did you do that? And he said, number one, I do a lot of surgery, so I have a lot of patients to ask. He asked them personally, and he prefaced it by saying, so what do you think? All right, what are you thinking about this? And they're like, oh my God, I love this. Timing is everything on that. They're ecstatic about it. And he says, if you don't mind, can I please show your photos to others? Because they need to see good work, you know, or like they need to see this. You look fantastic. So you compliment the woman, then you ask for a favor. Do you mind if I show your photos? And then oftentimes they'll say, oh, yes, I do mind. And he'll say, well, what if, can I just, you know, I'm not dying to block out your eyes, but could I block out your eyes? And then they'll say, well, I don't know about that. And he'll keep cutting it down. What if I just showed your lower face? And then, and then, yeah. And then if they say, no, I just don't, he's like, well, can I at least get a review? So he never leaves empty handed. Like he goes right down the line. How far do I have to go before you say yes? But he also said, you know, let's say only 3 out of 10. In his case, it's 3 out of 10. So he just knows I just have to keep asking a bunch of people, you know, but 3 out of 10 equals 1,000 now. So it's, again, you have to have some patience and consistency. You can't ask sometimes and not other times, unless of course there's an issue. But if they have a really good result, there has to be a process, you know, like we never let that patient go. It's the timing though. Too many of you wait for 2 months later. They're already used to their look. They can't remember anymore what they used to look like.
Yeah, you know? That's so true. Very good point. I think that's very true. You just have to ask and ask and ask. Ask everyone and you will get some yeses. So, well, this has been so fascinating, Catherine. I really enjoyed talking to you and I can't wait to bring you to our practice. Someday you have to come and visit us in LA here.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks, everybody.
Yes. Where can people find you on your social handles or what's the best way to reach out? And definitely let's talk about the name of your book so people can read it if they're interested.
Oh, sure. I have it right behind me here. My website, everything's at my website. It's CatherineMaley.com and that's spelled with a C, CatherineE, Maley is M as in Mary, Aley. My Instagram is Catherine Maley MBA. And those are two good places to find me.
Awesome. That's amazing. And I think that you're such a wealth of knowledge and you're very well spoken and you would motivate anyone's staff. So hopefully you guys learned a lot, whether you're an aesthetics or you're a business owner or you're just interested in giving the best customer service. This is a woman who we all have to learn from. Thank you so much, Catherine.
I appreciate it.
Everyone, you can check us out on Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K. That's where you can find me doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, Beauty by Dr. K, drkay.com. You can find our awesome skincare there and check us out for more teaching, entertainment, education, all the things that we do to keep people going and looking good and feeling good about themselves. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.